Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we are here to encourage you to have a conversation with you that brings light to your dark moments, encouragement to your times of discouragement. Yes, VFN Radio. And joining me this morning to encourage you is the producer of VFN Radio program. Yes, it's his fault if it doesn't work, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Also joining us on this journey of encouragement and inspiration is John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. We give a shout out this morning to Peter. Your words of encouragement and all you guys out there that are standing with us prayerfully and financially. Sophia and all the wonderful gifts that you are sending to get this word out around the world is amazing. All the ones that are liking us on our Facebook, we're almost at 5,000. We're about to click over maybe this today's program, over 5,000 in our Facebook virtual audience that sit with us on VFN Radio program. You're going to be hearing this morning about Angus Jones, a young man that was on a program called Two and a Half Men that found God and wants to unfind the program Two and a Half Men. Also, we're going to be talking about Sandy and how two governors are requesting $71 billion, greater, they say, than Hurricane Katrina's damage. They weren't in it. And so much more. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I want to give a big shout out this morning to our new Facebook fans. I want to welcome Barry and Sandy and Todd and Dennis and Tom and John and Kaylee and Roberta and Mac and Naomi and Debbie and Jerry and Cindy with an I instead of a Y, Connie and Robin and David and CJ and Billy and Don and Rena and Susie and Ben and so many. I can't even read them all. Thank you for joining us in our virtual audience. We are one away from breaking the 5,000 friend mark on our Facebook. Be the one that takes us over to the 5,000 mark right now. Go to VFNTV.com, click on our Facebook and like us, and you will bring us over to 5,000. 5,000. We're at 4,999. Oh, my goodness. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning to encourage you, the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. I don't know if you guys heard about, you know, I just heard this morning, I was listening to CBN News this morning, and I heard there's a program called Two and a Half Men. It's the one program that would come on, and I always would turn the channel. And
right.
To turn the channel because it was just filled with so much sexual innuendo and just darkness or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the young, I guess, and I found out that Two and a Half Men meant that there was two grown men and there was a young man there on the program. I heard on the news this morning, and that his name is Agnes T. Jones. I think he's like 19 now, I guess. And he got saved. He gave his life to God.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
He gets paid $350,000 per episode. And I'm saying there's 24 episodes a year. And he wanted to get out of his contract. He's like, you know, I just don't want to do this anymore. This is no way. As a matter of fact, we have an interview. He just kind of expressed himself and went on YouTube. And I want to play that for you so you can hear, you know, I didn't know, I've seen the guy when I turned the channel, but I never knew what he was doing on there. But listen to what he says about it. It's about a minute and a half. Listen up.
Jake from Two and a Half Men means nothing. He is non-existent character. Two and a Half Men. If you watch Two and a Half Men, please stop watching Two.
Now you're listening to Agnes Jones, and he's talking on a YouTube video, I believe, maybe probably with his pastor, this right there. And he's saying, listen, this character you see, that's not a real person. Mm-hmm. He's talking, he's saying, listen, I'm a human being, basically. And what you're seeing, and he's talking about that character on Two and a Half Men. Listen up.
Jake from Two and a Half Men means nothing. He is non-existent character. Two and a Half Men. If you watch Two and a Half Men, please stop watching Two and a Half Men. I'm on Two and a Half Men. I don't want to be on it. Please stop watching it. Please stop filling your head with filth. Please. It's, you know, people say it's just entertainment. The fact that it's entertainment, it's do some research on the effects of television and your brain, and I promise you, you'll have a decision to make when it comes to the television, and especially with what you watch on the television. It's bad news. It's bad news. So that's coming. I don't know if it means any more coming from me, but you might not have heard it otherwise. So just watch out. Watch out, because a lot of people don't like to think about how deceptive the enemy is.
That's right.
It's way more, he's been doing this for a lot longer than any of us have been around. So we can't play around. There's no playing around when it comes to eternity. If we're lukewarm, and if we, if we're behaving like the Laodiceans, you know, it might cause it's going to cause a lot more harm, because people will see us and be like, oh, I can be a Christian and be on a show like Two and a Half Men. You cannot be a true God-fearing person and be on a television show like that.
You think about it. This is the young man that if you, you know, if you're aware of it, as soon as this particular program comes on, you turn it. There was this young little boy there, you would turn it. This young man's name is Agnes, and he got saved. He gave his life to the Lord, and he came to the conclusion that we all do. You know, God is, you know, I can't do this. This is like against what God would want. But right. Here he is at 19 years old. And he's under contract, and he's in this dilemma.
He has one more year.
Yeah, it was one more year in that he's saying, man, if I stay on this show and I profess that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, then a whole bunch of other people are going to think, hey, you can do this wrong thing and be a believer. And he said, that's like the Laodicean church.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so good, because so many people, you know, sell out for money. You know,
yeah.
As a matter of fact, there's other YouTube videos that are going up and said, listen, you know, and they're trying to separate your relationship with God from business. And that's what's happened to America, you know, is saying, this is just business. Don't take it personal. This is just business. Don't take it personal. This is not how I feel. This is just what my boss wants me to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you know me, on Sunday, I sing Christian songs, and at least every now and then I participate in what 19% of the church does, called reading their Bible. This is cool.
I don't do crack. I just sell crack. You know
right,
what I mean?
Exactly. And that actually, if you know about the drug industry, that there's a lot of self-righteous drug dealers. They do,
absolutely.
They degrade the people that they sell it to, not realizing they're the one that sells the drug.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, spending many years in law enforcement, I was amazing how the dealer would feel different than the user. And and it's so cool. He's 19, and he's got a clear understanding that you have to be a doer. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just be a hearer, but a doer. You know, we have the hear-hears and the do-dos and the who-dos, I am what I do. But he understands that you're going to have to hear and do. You have to hear what God's telling you and do it. And he's caught in a dilemma. I mean, you think about it. I don't know. He must have been young when he first started this, because when I saw it flipped it over from the channel, I was thinking, that's a little, young little boy.
Yeah, he's little.
He's 19 now. And so, you know, his whole life, I guess, was consumed with that. I guess your teenager's life. Mm-hmm. But he found God, and he's coming out of it. And even if he can't, even if whatever he has to finish up this year's contract, I think he's going to be a major, and he's telling people, listen, don't watch it. Don't
that's
watch
awesome.
It. You know, and 19 years old, you don't have a frontal lobe yet. You don't have his reasoning, and he's got more reasoning that seems like than some adults.
All right.
But
it's
so cool that, you know, he's taking the stand, you know, and I just, you know, if I wish I could get to him and just say, yo, Angus, you are so encouraging. You bring light to my day. I mean, you are an inspiration to me and to a lot of parents out there. This,
absolutely.
You know, that suddenlies can happen to our children. Suddenlies, he's like, you know, you could be all of that, which was just all this darkness and innuendo, and there was a previous actor on there that he was on every particular show that was just lost his mind, you know, in the context of all that. And I think the last thing he did was a place at Radio City Music Hall close to you, and he did some sort of, you know, narcissistic thing. I mean, he just fell in on himself.
Yeah.
And you can only stay in darkness so long before darkness overtakes you.
It's cool to see the 19-year-old man just walk away. He'd been willing to risk all his money and what he earned. It reminds me of Brian Welch. He was one of the lead guitarists for the band Korn.
Right.
And he walked away from all that, from contracts and everything, when he gave his life to the Lord. And they begged him, the group begged him to stay on board with them for this one album. And he said, no, I can't do it. And I'm going to serve God. I can't be a part of that.
Find I Am awesome. Second. Find his testimony. That's a powerful testimony. You want to be able to play it. Because this was kind of, I think that today's theme is that, you know, we can be going one way. Mm-hmm. And everybody's, and they're right in what they're saying about us. But you know what? When he was talking to the church, when Paul was talking to the church, he says, such were some of you. And that's all of us.
That's
we came
right
out of all this, but there was a day that we said, you know, I found God, and that I can see now, I can see where I am and what's going on, and that I need to, I'm going to change. I love him so much, I don't want to offend him. And that's right, Corn, I remember his testimony about that. We're going to have that for you in just a moment from, you know, I am second. And we're also going to make this video available to you of Angus's, an actor, hopefully a previous actor on Two and a Half
yes.
Men. You want to pray for him that, you know, obviously his heart's desire is to be able to walk away from this, but, you know, it's amazing what Hollywood would do to somebody. Mm-hmm. And we'll make it available on the Torch, the VFN Torch. You go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch and you'll see that there. And we'll also make, what's Corn? What's the,
His name is Brian Head.
Yeah, Brian Head. You got to see this. A powerful, powerful,
powerful.
Testimony from him.
It's Brian Welch.
Brian Welch.
Oh, Brian Welch.
Brian
I'm
Welch.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Stage name was The Head.
The Head?
Yeah, Head. His stage name. A lot of people knew him that name.
Right, right. Well, I know this, that it's don't, you know, the thing about people say, well, you know, we're hearing VFN Radio, we're hearing all the things that are happening, and the darkness is increasing, but it makes me think about the Torch and the Sword, where a prophetic word that was given from the Lord through to Rick Joyner. You got to read it. It's just so powerful. And we kind of feel like that's our driving force for today, is that God was speaking to Rick Joyner, you know, from Morningstar Ministries in Charlotte, you know, and he's telling him very specifically in this vision that the hordes of hell are coming against him. And all this darkness, you know, Angus is before they're saved, mm-hmm. and the other actors, I guess, and all that. So anyway, this darkness is coming your way, and it looks hopeless. And then Rick looks to this young girl, and God's speaking to this young girl about, you know, hey, we're going to need some help. Where's our help going to come from? And you got to this is very important, because the church has left evangelism. It's left the awareness that we are supposed to go into darkness and be light in the midst of darkness, and to win the Anguses. We're supposed to win them to God. And so the little girl says, well, your help is in the hordes of hell, those that the enemy has captive, because if you'll go witness to them, they'll come on your side and they'll stand as a soldier for God. You know, I'm kind of paraphrasing for this.
Yeah.
And they'll stand beside you, and you'll defeat them by winning them over. When you look at the Muslims and the increase of Islam, Islam's a forced situation, mm-hmm. you know, with a wrong situation, but, you know, it's darkness. But understand this, that just like Angus was one, that you can witness to a Muslim and they could find Jesus, and they will renounce, you know, Islam, and they would renounce Muhammad, and they would accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's happening continually. And so don't throw up your hands when it looks like gross darkness around. Realize, you know, Angus is just like that. Mm-hmm. He's just like that. And that, did you find it?
Downloading.
Okay. We got to hear this. It's just so powerful. But, you know, some of the things that he said, that Angus said, is so powerful. And this listener is 19 years old, making $350,000 per episode. Supposedly there's like 24 episodes. And it's so cool to see a young person not sell out God for money. You know
it's
what I'm saying?
$14 million if you think that's
right.
If my calculations are right.
Right, right.
And it's huge.
And it's like it's equivalent to 30 pieces of silver, though. He understands that if I take
exactly.
that, you know, it's like selling God out when he understood it. But he says things like, you know, I'm on Two and a Half Men, but I don't want to be on it. That's what he said. He says, please stop it. Stop watching it and filling your head with filth. Well, this is so powerful. And he goes on to say, he says, people say it's just entertainment. Do some research on the effects of television on the brain.
Mm.
It's like, dude, we need you to speak in every church gathering that we can find.
At 19.
And I promise you'll have a decision to make when it comes to television, especially with what you watch. And he goes on to say, if I am doing any harm, I don't want it to be here. I don't want to be contributing to the enemy's plan. You cannot be a true God-fearing person and be be on a television show like that, talking about Two and a Half a Man.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I can't. I'm not okay with what I'm learning, what the Bible says, and being on this television show. All right. Actually, I love it. You know, it's just a downward trend, he goes on to say. It's just powerful. Powerful to see, you know, such a young man, 19 years old. And, you know, I want to encourage you that if you have young people that have been, you know, hooked by these dark shows, and there's something that you can show them, this is one thing you can show them. Go to the torch and make sure you play with them, you know, this particular testimony. I know that also, you know, one day I was, you know, riding down the street in law enforcement. I was not saved. I was in darkness and, you know, and all the things of darkness. But all of a sudden, just like, you know, Angus, all of a sudden God called my name. You know, I was on patrol late at night, going, you know, nowhere in regards to, I was just in gross darkness. And the Lord just called me. He called me and he saved me. Just called, and I was amazed. It's changed my life as you know it. And it was just powerful, totally powerful to see what God can do. Just like happened here. We're going to play just a moment when I get it here.
I do want to say, if I could say something right now, that Janice Martinez is the 5,000 person to like the VFN radio page. Janice,
welcome. Janice, welcome, welcome, welcome. My goodness gracious, it has come over where you have met the 5,000 connections, and the our goal right there. Let's see right here. Oh my goodness, there it is. Janice, 5,000.
Los Angeles.
5,000 wow. From LA. We're so glad to have you.
Awesome.
Totally amazing. Totally amazing.
It is totally, totally amazing. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just, you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you. Because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything, and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ. That he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your heavenly father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back. We're about to be able to play Brian Welch from I Am Second. You can go to IamSecond.com to be able to see what we want to get. And just like Angus, listen to his testimony. You got to hear this. He was a member of a rock band named Korn, and in that he just made a decision for God and couldn't be a part of it. Listen to his testimony, Brian Welch, I Am Second.
So in my head, I was like, okay, I'm going to accept Christ in front of everybody right now. Then I'm going to go home and snort drugs until I don't want to do them anymore. And that was my way of thinking. So I received Christ at the church. I went home, neglected my daughter, and put her in front of the TV. I remember I grabbed a $100 bill. I always used a $100 bill for some reason, pride or something. I chopped up my crystal meth, got it all smooth and powdery. And I snorted a big old line, and I held the bill, and I looked up, and I said, Jesus, if you're real like that pastor said, then you got to take these drugs from me. Come into my life. Come into my heart. And I just got quiet. I said, search me right now. Search my heart. And I stayed silent. And I said, you know I want to quit. You know I want to be a good dad for this kid. She lost her mother to drugs. And she's going to lose me if I don't quit. Amen. there's a high when you go on stage and you see all these people like just loving your music and loving you and stuff, and there's these girls and all these people going worshiping me. When you see all those people just going nuts for you, it's like, you know, it puffs you up inside. You're like, you know, I'm important. That's where drugs can creep in, and, you know, cocaine or whatever, methamphetamines crept in, and it all came from after drinking for me and my friends. And it seems like fun in the beginning. It's a lie, because it turns around on you. It starts to wear on your personality, starts to wear on your relationships, and everything is affected by it negatively. Everything. There was a few times where life seemed good. My daughter, Janae, she came into the world, and I was like, it was just such a euphoric feeling. I thought my life could just feel like that forever, you know? It was like it was spiritual. Just, I didn't know what was happening. I just felt so much love just fill my emotions. And I thought I was gonna be happy, but, I just couldn't, stay sober. I didn't know how. I hit rock bottom. I had swore that I would never do methamphetamines again, because I saw what it did to my child's mother. It just took her feelings away and made her leave her kid. I just wanted her dead. I wanted to kill her. I thought she was a scum of the earth, and, you know, how could she do drugs like that and let the drugs win her like that? So I never was going to do meth again. I ended up with a everyday crippling addiction to methamphetamine, and everything that I said about my ex-wife came true for me. I sunk to the lowest gutter I could ever think of. I would spend time with my kid, and I'd still be on it because I needed it to function. I'd get up in the morning, have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and snort meth, and then take her to school or whatever. It was just, I was a junkie. I started losing my mind. This guy would show up at my house with like a gun and stuff. And then I ran out in Europe, had my drug dealer
just crazy
send me drugs through the mail.
And I'd be tweaked out in my hotel room watching this package come from the U.S.
It was just nuts. My life just was like spinning out of control. And Janae had come out on one of the tours in the U.S.
I just remember her skipping around the house.
She's singing one of our Korn songs called Adidas.
All day I dream about sex.
And I'm like going, aah! What am I doing? I'm a junkie. My daughter's singing All Day I Dream About Sex. And I'm going to die. Father? My real estate broker, Eric, he said, Brian, I don't mean to be weird with you. I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I felt the scripture like jump out at me. I've never done this before, you know, so I don't really know how to do this, but I felt like this would mean something to you. It's Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I remember all tweaked out. I looked up in the dictionary, weary. I looked up burdened, and I pulled the scripture apart, and I was like, oh, I'm weary and burdened, and I need rest for my soul. And I didn't know if it was real, but you know, they invited me to church a couple weeks later, and I received Christ at the church. I went home, neglected my daughter, got it all smooth and powdery. Jesus, you got to take these drugs from me. Search me right now. Search my heart. Father, I felt so much fatherly love from heaven, and it was like, I don't condemn you, I love you, I love you. It was just love, and instantly that love from God came into me. It was so powerful that the next day I threw away all my drugs, and I quit Korn. I was like, I'm quitting Korn, and I'm going to raise my kid, because my kid Like, I got the love from God coming to me, and then it came out of me to my kid. It changed me. My heart was changed like that. And I was like, Janaea, Daddy's going to be home with you all the time. I'm quitting my career. And her face lit up, and she's like, for me? You know, she felt so special. And God used her to save me, to save her life later on. My dream came true way more than I dreamt about. I made more money. I played bigger shows. I mean, houses, cars. I tried drugs. I tried sex. I tried everything to try to get pleasure out of this life. And I thought that I could fulfill my life with all this stuff by having my dream come true. And it came true, but it didn't fulfill it. When Christ came in, that feeling, he gives you the gift of understanding life, which is everything was created for Christ and by him, and we're created to be with him. And it's the most incredible feeling, because you're where you belong, and contentment is given to you in life because you don't have to look anywhere else, and you're exactly where you need to be. And the question about life is answered. I'm Brian Head Welch, and I am second.
Totally awesome. I mean, Brian awesome. Just kind of nails it right there. If you want to see that, you got to see him. I mean, he literally, he's got tattoos on every square inch of his body. He's got mm-hmm. his braids in there. You know, every 2 inch in his braids, he has banded. But inside of all that, you have a man's heart. It's been changed, just like Agnes has been changed. And mm-hmm. and listen, there's hope. That's why we pray. As a matter of fact, we have several people know that we're focusing on Wednesday on praying for the prodigals, mm-hmm. praying for the prodigal mothers, the prodigal fathers, the prodigal sons, the prodigal daughters, and just calling it. Why? Because that's who Corn was. You know, mm-hmm. that's who Angus was. And we're all prodigals. You know, until we find God. And God just welcomes us.
He wrote a book called Save Me From Myself, How I Found God, Quit Porn, Kicked Drugs, and Lived to Tell My Story. And I read that book in a day. It was so amazing. I was just drawn to it by accident. It was happening to be in a bookstore, and God was by accident. God just drew me to it. It was such an amazing story. And he generally found God, man, got baptized, and he just did everything. And now he just wants to share God and just so grateful. But just like with Agnes, I just thought it was just so amazing. At the pinnacle of his career, they begged him. This was going to be like a multi-million dollar deal. And they begged him, just stay on for us to cut this deal. And as soon as we cut this deal, you can slip out the band. You don't have to do one show. You don't have to do anything. And he said, I don't even want to be on it to cut the deal. I don't need that money.
There comes a point when you mm-hmm. know God that the next paycheck that you take mm-hmm. from darkness is like 30 pieces of silver. And your spirit knows, I don't care what it is, don't care how much it is, God has called me away from this. Even mm-hmm. if it's a legitimate career, but you mm-hmm. know that you're running from God yeah. and that you know you're like Jonah on the boat. You know that everything is like 30, selling out what God's called you to do and where he's calling you. And that next income, if you take that next check, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to be a stumbling block to you.
Yeah, I mean, the world thinks that that's, you know, you think when you don't know God that that's the epitome. He gives an account where he's on a stage, I think, in Germany in front of 100,000 people. And there's just a sea of people. And you think this is like we have reached the ultimate in our career. I think it was Lollapalooza or something like that. And these people are just going crazy. And he says that night, this is a huge benchmark for our career. I went to the hotel room by myself only to get calls that there were a bunch of people in my home back in California ripping it to shreds. My wife was messing with other men and my child was left somewhere. Just all this brokenness. And he's thinking, it's not in all this stuff. It doesn't matter how much success I have, no matter how much things. I mean, it's what Agnes is saying. It doesn't matter how much success, you know, in man's eyes, if what's successful is pulling me away from God, I don't even want it. That's not success.
Don't want to be a part of it. No. Don't even want to be a part of it. Well, totally awesome. You know, Angus, we're with you. We're standing with you. We're excited. We're looking forward to you know, you being discipled, knowing God deeply, the deep things of God, hearing his voice, and maybe God's going to use you, like as he is now, significantly to reach out to your cohorts that are 19 years old in their teen years, that maybe grew up with you watching that show, and then you're going to, you had a great experience in seeing both sides of it, and you're able to say clearly that this is not right. This is not right. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment, and we're going to come back, you know, original intent for America. We're going to, again, take the test, the citizenship test. We're going to see if Pat and John is able, so far, they are still able to stay in America. That we got five more questions that we're going to ask them in the citizenship test that everybody takes in America to become a citizen of the United States of America. We'll be right back.
You know, John, it's amazing how many spectator sports there are right now. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's TV shows or, you know, TV sports, a lot of it's spectator sport, you know. But the truth is that the church is not a spectator sport. You know, God wants you to be involved. God wants you to play your part. And I just want to encourage you that, you know, if you have not yet, you can ask Jesus Christ to come in your life. And if you have asked Jesus Christ to come in your life, you know, there's an integral part that God wants you to play. God does not want you to remain on the sidelines. He doesn't want you to be a spectator. He wants you to play your part that only you yourself can bring to pass. If that's you and you want to find out more, I encourage you to go to vfnu.org and find out the plan that God has for you. Find out more of what you can do to bring that to pass in your life. vfnu.org. Have you ever been listening or reading the Word of God and it just seems like you were just reading a math book? And there's a lot of books that I've read in my life, and I've learned that there's a big difference between a textbook, a book, and the Word of God. There's a big difference between the Word of God and the God of the Word. And I want to encourage him that if you want to encounter the God of the Word, Jesus Christ, you can. He's not just a few letters in a pages that you don't understand. He's alive, and he's got a plan for you, and he wants nothing more than to spend time with you on a daily basis. He wants to speak to you. He wants to hear your voice, and he wants you to know his voice. Find out more at iabide.org.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back into death. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who's did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. You're listening to the first hour of VFN Radio, and we were talking about Agnes. Agnes, actor on 2.5 Men who found God and wants to unfind the particular program. And with me is Pat and John, and, of course, Agnes Jones, I believe it is. Agnes Jones. And it was just awesome. If you missed the first half of this hour, you got to catch it. You can catch it also on the VFN VFN Torch, which are the highlights from the VFN radio program. Well, I want to move on. You know, yesterday, listen up. We are going to go to back to the original tent of America. And it's the second 5 questions from the citizenship test. So we're going to find out. We're going to ask you, John and Pat. We are going into the next questions. Y'all did pretty well. Y'all still get to remain citizens of America. We have 100 of these, and we're going to do 5 of them today. We had 5 yesterday. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, Pat was complaining that, you know, John, you got all the easy ones, and he got the hard ones.
Yeah.
But in case you missed what was yesterday, it was very powerful, you know, understanding, you know, what is the supreme law of the land? Think about it. What do we operate by? Mm-hmm. It's the United States Constitution. And when people talk about messing with the Constitution, they're talking about messing with the supreme law of the land, our operating system. Mm-hmm. And if you have a computer, you know when your operating system gets messed up, everything gets messed up. Mm-hmm. And we don't want anybody messing with the Constitution. The next was, you know, what does the Constitution do? You know, it's very, very important because a lot of people don't realize what it does.
Right.
They're looking at what it does, but they don't realize that's where it came from. Well, it sets up the government, it defines the government, and it protects basic rights of us citizens, the citizens of America. And the idea of self-government is in the first 3 words of the Constitution. We ask, you know, what were they? And of course, it's we the people. We the people are the first three words of the preamble of the Constitution of the United States. It's awesome, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Mm-hmm. And so we have to participate in government, and if we want to keep it, we have to participate in it. And the next was, you know, what is an amendment? Amendment is a change to the Constitution, an addition to the Constitution. So first you had the Constitution, then you started making, they started making changes to it or additions to it. But there's, the Constitution sets up how that happens. So you can't mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. do it. You know, there has to be a major majority of people that do that. And finally, is what do you call the first 10 amendments to the Constitution? And of course, that is called the Bill of Rights. A lot of people look at the Constitution and say, I'm trying to find the Bill of Rights. What it actually is the Constitution is the first 10 amendments.
Mm-hmm.
It's where our rights come from. So now here we are. We are in the next question that you guys don't. So we're going to give you time when you're ready to answer the question to say you're ready. So you'll hear music just like this.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you get it wrong, it's going to sound something like this. Right. Which also means that could
he's
be.
He's got a lot of time on his hands.
Yeah. And of course, if you get it right, you know, all the audience is going to be cheering you on right here. But understand this, mm-hmm. that you may have to pack your luggage.
Uh-oh.
And we will self deport you. We'll self deport you. That is a GOP word they don't use anymore.
All right.
Exactly.
No more.
It's like, we need to rethink this self deport thing. Yeah. You read the Bible. We should actually take care of the alien. We just got to get them to connect to the supreme law of the land. Quit messing with the supreme law of the land. Teach them. I mean, they're learning it here in the citizenship. Maybe Congress needs to take this test.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? But right now, Pat and John's going to take it. So here we are. Here is question number 6 on the American citizenship test. What is one right or freedom? This is Pat. This is directed to you, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
What is one, just one, one right or freedom from the First Amendment to the Constitution? Give us one right or one freedom. I just wanted to let you think about it a little bit and just let us know when you're ready. No, you can't Google it. Don't Google it.
Okay.
All right, Pat. Here it is. What is one?
Okay.
One right that you get from the First Amendment, which is in the change, right, to the Constitution?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What is one of them?
Freedom of religion.
Very good. Oh, my goodness. Hey, it's totally wonderful. You get to stay in the United States of America so far. So far.
Did you Google up there? Did you Google
I was trying to. Yeah, well, we had to stop him from trying to Google it. He was like he was on his iPhone trying to look up stuff and everything. And he didn't realize it was sitting right in front of him in a little book called The Constitution.
I saw that.
You looked?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay, John, here
I
is.
I restrained myself.
Question number two. Question number two of today's questions from the citizenship. Look, he's looking all down. Hey, what are you working? Get your hands off
your
keyboard.
Head up. Get your head up.
Hands on the steering wheel, sir. Hands on the steering wheel. Okay, here it is. I want you to be thinking about it after I ask you. Don't just jump in because I want to know your final answer, okay? How many amendments does the Constitution have? All right, you got the answer? Wait. Okay, let us know.
I think I got it. I'm not sure.
All right.
19.
Start packing,
bro. Oh, my goodness.
I wasn't Googled up.
No. It's actually, think about it, 27 amendments.
I was going to say that.
That was my second choice.
Excuse the punch. The punch just happened. You know,
that was my second.
That was one of the numbers that came to mind.
Yeah. 27, but think about it. For 230 years or whatever, that there's only been 27 changes or additions to, and some of those changes were undoing changes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It was fixing past ones. That's powerful, powerful document.
That's good. Yeah.
That's a few words. I wish the healthcare bill was that small, right?
Yeah, right.
Ooh.
Well, you think about it. So, obviously, John, you need to go ahead and start packing things up. I know that, you know, Puerto Rico is a territory, right? It's not.
It's a territory.
So you're going to have to find, it can't go there. You're going to have to find some particular place outside of America. I was thinking more like, you know, Nepal or something of that nature right there. Okay, the next question from the citizenship test of the Constitution of the United States is going to go to Pat. I don't know. I guess you can watch the Saints on satellite, you know, from Nepal or something like that. But here it is. What did I want you to take your time and think about it. Don't just jump on it because this could cost you, you know, your house and everything in America. Mm-hmm. And Tracy's going to be really upset about that. What did the Declaration of Independence do? I want you to think about this. Think about it. What did the Declaration of Independence do? Da, 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 da. Ba, ba. Hello?
I'm here. He's giving us some time.
All right.
Okay, I think I'm ready.
So what did the Declaration... Well, no, he actually was... He was looking at the Google on his forehead. You know how he closes his eyes? He's got this, like, eyeball on his head. He was looking past all the hot sauce.
Yeah, I was searching my RAM.
The Slap Your Mama hot sauce. He was looking past that. Yeah, he messes his ability to think up. So what did... The question is... Question is, Pat, what mm-hmm. did the Declaration of Independence do?
All right. They declared their independence from the motherland, England.
Yay! Oh, my goodness. Congratulations. Oh, my goodness. Yes. It actually announced our independence from Great Britain, mm-hmm. Declared our independence as well, and said the United States is free mm-hmm. from Great Britain. So when you're looking at Great Britain today, because it's been so long, you might not know mm-hmm. this. When you're watching, you know, C-SPAN and watching the Parliament talk, realize that was part of us and our history there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know if you were watched the Olympics, but when you watch the Olympics, we were part of all that, you know, prior to the American Revolution that mm-hmm. took place. But we separated ourselves. It just says then there comes a time mm-hmm. when the only thing you can do that's right is separate yourself from what is to establish mm-hmm. what will be, mm-hmm. and that's what you know. When you listen to go back to original intent in the VFN Torch and just listen to George Washington's story. Mm. An awesome man. And he was, there's a reason why he's on every dollar bill. He's not what today's people say he is. I mean, he's a man of integrity that said this is not right. And he stood up and fought for it and led people. It's just amazing. You can find that on the VFN Torch. Okay. Now, question number nine. This is going to have this one more. It's going to go to John, right? Mm. John, here it goes. So you're ready. Mm-hmm. You ready for this? Make sure it's going to be your final answer then. What are two rights in, I'm not talking about every one of them. What are two rights in the Declaration of Independence? What are two rights in the Declaration of Independence? All right, here we go.
Let's you said go. In the Declaration of Independence?
Right. Yes, John.
I think we're going to run out of music here.
What are two rights in the Declaration of Independence? Okay. What are two rights in the Declaration of Independence?
All right. So it's getting a little bit tossed back and forth with the Bill of Rights. I had to clarify. I got to get my thinking cap on. Declaration of Independence, two rights. One was to freedom to serve God the way they want to serve God. Yes! You know what? Finish. Hold on.
What's another one? That one's wrong. Get a chance for another one.
Declaration of Independence.
They yes.
Right to have representative government. Pat, you got the book here.
Let's hear about it. You know, Will Smith made a movie about this particular man that he believed in the Declaration of Independence. What was the name of that movie? Pursuit of Happiness. You have the rights we have in the Declaration of Independence is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Oh, wow.
Hey! Oh my goodness! You need to go ahead and just get quick tickets on your Google. Google, two. That is two. And I don't know Nepal.
Well, would you visit me?
Iran? We can Skype. We can Skype from Iran. You know,
there you go.
Iran right there.
Yeah,
right. I'm talking to the Ayatollah this morning. BFN Radio. I'm out of breath as I'm running for my life. You know.
Right.
Okay, Pat. This is the final question for today. Under the original intent of America, John, that's too wrong. We got to figure this out. We got 100 total, and obviously we're not going to do it today. We're just going to do this next one. What is freedom of religion? Think about it. What is religious freedom? Here we go. This is your final answer. What is freedom of religion?
Well, it's part of the First Amendment, but it's freedom to worship God the way you want to.
Yeah. It's very good.
I'm sensing some softball questions over there. Yeah. I'm sensing some, you know.
Everybody quiet down a bit. Quiet down. Listen. You can practice any religion or not practice a religion.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so important, because when somebody tells you mm-hmm. that this is the way God tells you to live your life.
Yeah.
And that's why they made such a big stand when the healthcare bill, when they're talking about they're going to force Catholics who believe in and follow Jesus mm-hmm. and what the Bible says about, you know, all life matters
mm-hmm.
and saying that you're going to have, they're going to violate their constitutional rights when they say you can't follow or practice your religion, we're going to change that and say you're going to have to pay for insurance that will allow your employees to abort children, which is against their religious beliefs. And so that's why it's a constitutional matter. Because remember, it's our supreme law. The Constitution mm-hmm. is our supreme law. And not only is it our supreme law, but each of us as individuals have those constitutional rights. And so when somebody is telling you that you can't worship God that way, and there's a big one going on right now about raising children and how parents want to raise their children, the government's getting all into that, and they're violating people's constitutional right by saying that, you know, children have some constitutional right, you mm-hmm. know, because they're not wanting to walk in as their parents walk in mm-hmm. in the faith towards God. And so we're finding out right now. And you guys haven't told, well, you did a good job.
Thank you.
I'm really concerned. We need to keep that up on the board right here. It's too wrong for John. And if anybody wants to donate any luggage or has any boarding passes or stuff like that, we still, because it's a very, very small world. You know, we got
friends, huh?
Yeah, we can Skype. You need to go ahead and talk to
Avi. Set me up with Avi over there in Israel.
That's a pretty cool place. It's a pretty cool place. It has a lot of windy moments as missiles flying over your head, but isn't that something to think about? It, you know, we're done with that, but think about it. That's what we do. You know, this is what people who do to become an American citizen. These are things, questions that they're asked and they have to know. The question is to me is like, why does our president and our Senate and our Congress forget about these things? You know, and all we got to do, we want people to come to America. That's the strength of America. But we want you also to connect and be loyal to the supreme law of the land. And we want you to know it and forgive us for not knowing it, but we're learning it again or for the first time. And we were going to be loyal to it as well because you swear an oath that you will protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, which is the supreme law, from enemies foreign and domestic. So we can all get along if we all agree to the supreme law of the land of the Constitution, which is a brilliant, brilliant document that was put together by our founding fathers right there. Did a wonderful job.
Fantastic. Pat, I don't know if you were Googled up, but very, very, very important. I wasn't Googled up. I didn't get a chance, but you're right. I mean, Constitution is so important. And then when you think about it, how many people are judging those that are just coming on over, and they're actually learning it. They're taking the test. They know the history.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that when we started talking about the Constitution, we said it was a journey for us. I mean, mm-hmm. they're learning, my son in fifth grade or fourth grade rather, was learning about the Constitution and about government. And I'm thinking, what boy in fourth grade is really studying and remembering? You know, so he's thinking baseball and football.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of us, and myself, I had to re-educate myself, and still am, on learning about these important, important documents. In fact, if you haven't had a chance, you can go to bfntv.com and go to the torch, and you can search up Declaration of Independence. We have a lot of segments, and even on the Constitution, And you can begin this journey as well on catching up and getting yourself back to, you know, where you want to be in terms of your knowledge of the Constitution and how this country came together.
That's right. That's good.
Well, I know this. I know that you know, we got to give ourselves a break and realize that we've been so blessed for so long that we were able to live in a land where you didn't have to actually know what it is, because, you know, our forefathers did such a good job. But listen, we're going to, and this was prophesied. This was prophesied. We're fixing to come to the end of the first hour here, and we'll continue talking about this in the extra hour. But understand that that we can relearn this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's proven, it's been walked out, and you're not wrong for standing up for the supreme law of the land. You're not wrong. These are your rights. It's
That's
a government,
right.
We the people. And you'll understand that when you sit down and you talk to men and women who are in office and who have the power, and we're lending power to them, but they don't really realize that you have the right to petition them and talk to them about how things are being run. And if they bark back at you, or they bite you, or they try to act shocked that you're going to question them, they are totally misunderstanding the Constitution of the United States, that you have a right and a responsibility. If you feel like there's something going wrong, or you just need to find, because you need to ask them legitimate questions that give you a piece about voting for them. And the ones that get shocked and act tyrannical, like Morsi, you know, Mohammed Morsi of Egypt, and take that kind of, it's just, we vote them out.
Right.
And we vote Absolutely. In people that's represent us in a representative form of government. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.